As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Apple just released some new emojis. There are some good ones, like the beans emoji. So you could ask someone, what do you want for dinner, over text, and just put the beans emoji? Question mark? Beans? Question mark? You know, technology has really helped us connect.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Wednesday, March 23rd. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Good day, everybody.
What's up, Tass? We got our Top Shot Hot Boy, Ribbon M Lips, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o.
Hey-yo.
The International Man of Mystery, taking it to the Maxley Ellis.
Friends.
Finally making the magic happen, super producer, J.D.
Hello. Hey.
Hey, how's it going? Hopefully, the stream team is joining us live right now. We're not sure. YouTube's acting a fool right now. Half the people in the stream team are saying it's working. The other half are saying it's not. They're tried refreshing. It's still not working. What are we doing here? What are we going to do?
You seem to be looking at me, and I have no answers.
I am looking at you. You got no idea.
I'm looking at an error message.
Oh, that's not good.
But then we got people who say they can see us, so...
It's working. Swish Rivera. Finally, it's working.
Okay, as long as it's working for
Sam Ding. Sam Ding. We're two for two.
All right.
Ooh, Steel Pal. Still getting nothing.
Okay. At this point, we're just got to power through it.
Yeah.
Go listen to the podcast if it's not working on YouTube. But please, like, subscribe, comment, share the show. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. We're going to hit the beach later today. Got some good cues. We'll dip our toes in the sand and answer those a little bit later. And make sure you check out yesterday's brand new No Breaks episode. Ferrari is back. Yes, indeed. We had Trey and Graydon breaking down Sunday's race and looking forward to the F1 season here and even trying pumpernickel toast on the stream. So
that's right.
You guys seemed a little dry to you guys.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be a pumpernickel pal going forward. But like I said on the show, like if I'm ever at brunch with Graydon and there is a pumpernickel toast available, 100%, I'm ordering it for the bit.
For Toto Wolf and the bit.
Okay. Yeah, for Toto. He always keeps track.
And there was some like confusion. It was sort of my doing of where that show was living. We thought we'd have the new No Breaks YouTube feed up.
It's there,
but we have to like some for some reason YouTube's like, you can't go live for 24 hours.
Who do you think you are?
We just arrived on the block
and you want to go live?
Yeah, it's very strange. So anyway, yeah, that lived on the No Dunks YouTube feed. Also, we're still working on the podcast feed. It's out there. Just search for No Breaks, and it's a great podcast. I listened to it yesterday, and it was blessed. Sorry,
it's on the No Bus feed.
I mean, no bus? No, now you're really messing things up. It's on the no breaks feed.
Well, there's a no breaks feed.
So where, what do you...
We uploaded the video post-haste. You couldn't watch it live on the no breaks, but it's there now, it's and I'm going to drop people the link here in the stream team to get our subscribers up on this thing.
Where only 50% of people might be listening.
Yes. It's a house of cards.
We are fucking killing it today. All right, so yeah, we're hitting the beach a little bit later, but let's start with the games. Only four on last night. Task, get us started, man. Trae Young going into MSG. It's an amazing place to watch a basketball game. He enjoys playing there. Yeah, dropped 45 as the Hawks beat the Knicks 117-111. What do you think?
Yeah, Trae Young back for the first time since what happened last year in the postseason. You remember he was bowing in front of MSG. He was telling him to shush. And so a 10-12 matchup here late in March that couldn't have been scheduled any better. That was the best 10-12 matchup in NBA history. Mark it down! It was phenomenal. Yeah, him back there. He dropped 45. This team with the Atlanta Hawks, they just need their backs against the wall desperately because the Knicks, they were playing extremely well for the New York Knicks. Without Julius Randle, they're up three late in the fourth quarter, and this is when Trae Young thrives. He buried his 7-3 to tie the game up. Then he set up Bogdan Bogdanovic, who had a beautiful night for himself. He had a three. DeAndre Hunter then hit a three. Then Trae broke Taj Gibson's ankles. Poor Taj out on the perimeter. It's like AI doing old MJ. Sorry, MJ. But, you know, it was that sort of vibe. Those two men just standing way up top. What do you think is going to happen? It's unfortunate. Yeah. He broke his ankles. They go on that run, and all of a sudden it's 113-105. Good night, Irene. I mean, that's where the game finished. This Hawks team still can't play defense all that well. They allowed a Knicks team that, you know, isn't a great scoring team to score a ton of points. But I think the Hawks will be good for a couple great play-in games. And they did get the bravado going. Obviously, Trae Young feeling good in MSG. We had Clint Capella. Nice finger wag on an Obi Toppin Blanc. Feeling pretty good. Bogdan Bogdanovic, who I think... is playing his best basketball. Yeah. Remember last year, he was injured in the postseason, so that's good for them going into the playoffs. Their defense, again, still not good, but Bogdan had 32 points, ended the game on a 24-6 run. And yeah, Trae Young on the MSG floor, that I wasn't excited about their City Edition jerseys, the all-black, but maybe it's because MSG, the spotlight lighting, the black floor, the logos with the black floor, it looked pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. And Trae Young feeling so, so good. He put up the L with the hand going up to a courtside fan who was talking junk to him, and I think we have the clip here, JD.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Hey, man, don't say nothing trash like you recorded.
Hey, hold that.
Oh, shit.
He told him to hold that L. Roy Wood Jr., the correspondent for The Daily Show there with the courtside video that was going viral, because Trae just lives in MSG. It is his second home court. It feels so good to watch him in MSG again. Doesn't get much better. 10-12, Trae Young dropping 45.
Yes, pretty ordinary end for the game for the Knicks. They led by 10, 8 minutes to go, and lost comfortably. And really, honestly, I think the Hawks could have won by more. They had too many open threes in this game. Tom Thibodeau is renowned as a defensive mastermind. Either he doesn't tell his guys to rotate, or they just don't listen to him. Because if you watch the Celtics right now, on defense, it looks like they've got six guys on the court. The Knicks on defense, to me, look like they've got three guys on the court. The ball moves once, and some guy's out of position, and it's a free shot. Mm-hmm. Offensive rebounds as well, I thought, hurt the Knicks last night. The Hawks just contested. And they didn't have the stomach, I didn't think, for the fight. And the fact that Taj Gibson just plays that many minutes, I just don't think is good for the Knicks. It feels to me that Tibbs, one of his issues is trusting young guys. And he simply doesn't trust the guys. He goes with the old guys who... Taj Gibson, I respect everything he's done in the league, but he should be a deep rotation player right now at this stage of his career. And, you know, it feels like Obi Toppin and Grimes and McBride, those, they go out there and they at least try. One mistake and they're off, and Tibbs just refuses to sort of go back to them again. I think that's the real problem here. There was talk the other day that Tibbs is coming back next season. I wouldn't be all that inspired if I'm the Knicks, because I just don't really think he has been able to change. And at this point, the Knicks, look, mathematically, they're still in it. But when you're...
they needed last night's win.
But when you're throwing around the mathematically, you're not in it, really. You need some miracle to happen here. And that's... If you're going to lose, I think you've got to be losing with the young guys right now, not with the old guys. Mm. Because Burks, Gibson, those guys... probably, I don't know if they'll be on the team or not next season, but they certainly shouldn't be playing the big roles. I know Julius Randle wasn't there last night, but even still, it feels to me Tibbs keeps on losing the same way. And he should at least go down with, like, all right, I'm throwing the young guys out there now. And they didn't do that. And again, they blew a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. And really, if Boggy hits a couple more threes, this one would have been a double-digit loss, I think, for the Knicks.
Leah's right. Tom Thibodeau needs to apologize to Taj Gibson. Taj played the last 15 minutes of this game straight. So, of course, the last 2 minutes, he got his ankles broken by Trae Young, who was just was feeling it last night. It's too bad the Knicks are only mathematically involved in the play-in race here, because I would love to see the Hawks versus the Knicks in the play-in tournament. And then I would love to see the Hawks, like, realize that the Knicks are coming up on the schedule and just cede home court. We'll play in MSG. Yeah. We're better there anyways, so... You know, it's a little concerning, perhaps, that the Hawks needed a fourth-quarter comeback to beat a Knicks team that was playing without their theoretical best player, but you take your wins where you can get them. They are a 500 team right now, and somehow we saw another buzzer-beating full-court heave.
Yeah.
This one was so crazy that they barely even caught it on the broadcast. Yeah. The pass by Bogdanović was super weird. Like just a little bit of a discus toss. And basically right at the rim for Trae Young, who catches it and puts it in. It seemed like a once-in-a-lifetime thing when Steven Adams and John Morant did it. And then it happened like less than a month later. Crazy.
Yeah, so 117-111, the Hawks win. The Knicks, they're done now. I mean, you're right, mathematically still alive, but they had to win this one to still have, like, you know, any prayer that they even sniff this thing.
Yeah.
But it's over. It's a brutal season, disappointing season. I mean, the Hawks had a disappointing season, too. I do wonder, Trae Young, the run he's on right now, has he done enough to sneak, not win MVP for you in your preseason pick, but to get an All-NBA selection? I think he's going to be, of course, in the running. But will the Hawks' record sort of hold them out there with all the great guards in this league?
Well, I'm just trying to think automatically of the backcourt. You know, Steph Curry's there, Ja Morant's there, Devin Booker's there.
DeRozan a guard? Is Luka a guard? I mean, it gets a little dicey.
So, I think because the Hawks have been off the radar for most of the season, it's going to be hard for him to really get in there. And again, if you are, you know, 12th or wherever they eventually finish, it's tough for him to get in there. But he has been good. He certainly has had a better second half of the season here and been putting up these numbers. I mean, that was a pretty easy 45 he put up there last night. I mean, he shot well and played well, got to the free throw line and did all that. But for what happened in the playoffs last season, I didn't feel at any point the Knicks were like, well, this guy's not going to embarrass us again tonight. And he did.
He loves playing there. He loves playing there as much as I love going to MSG to watch a game. It's a magical place, as I keep telling you.
Yeah, on the other side, Tom Thibodeau doesn't do RJ Barrett any favors come down in the fourth quarter with Taj Gibson and Mitchell Robinson on the floor just crowding his space. How is he going to execute coming down the stretch? And he doesn't do any favors for his potential contract extension that's coming up this offseason. I'm very interested to see what the Knicks do with that, because as Trey said, Randle, their theoretical best player, it sure feels like RJ Barrett has the brightest future of this team.
For sure.
But he's also not featured a ton, and they're not surrounding him with enough shooting. He is a driver. He needs to get in the lane. And unfortunately, in the fourth quarter, when it's a real Bogdanović in the lane there for the Knicks, how is he going to get in there? So, yeah, he ends up dropping 30 on poor shooting percentages, because they don't have a great team around them. The construction of this team is just not great, unfortunately.
Knicks did not do themselves any favor by shooting 14 for 26 at the free throw line, too. Need to bring in Lee Ellis as a shooting coach this offseason. Get in there with the guys. I mean, Barrett was 11 of 17. Got there a ton, but missed a lot. And then Mitchell Robinson, not his strong suit, 1 of 6.
I mean, Mitchell Robinson, a couple of free throws just looks so awful.
Yeah.
But, you know,
switch hands, man.
Yeah, he may as well. Why not? Because he's just throwing like line drives at the hoop, and it's not even on line. It's like to the right. Yeah. Like, it's crazy. But he's another guy. He's got to be a part of their future. He should be. He's young and he's athletic. He's a big at both ends of the floor. But I mentioned this before. He doesn't look like he's in shape.
Mm-mm.
I don't know how he can't be in shape if he's playing these. If he's playing 35 minutes as a starter, if he's injured, then maybe they want to rehab him, get in right before he goes out there. Because otherwise, you've got a rim protector who's not really protecting the rim, and he's certainly not catching those lobs that they need for some easy baskets. So he's a massive.
I thought he was a presence inside last night in this game. I mean,
at times,
three steals, defensively he's active. But
I think again in the fourth quarter, he didn't look like he had that energy, and he should. He's a young guy. I mean, he's not Taj Gibson.
Fourth quarter time, you got to roll with Taj Gibson.
Yeah.
Come on.
Lockdown.
And Tip said after the game, Fred Katz tweeted about it, he said he would do the same thing and roll with Taj Gibson. And that's exactly the problem with Tibbs.
I think he would.
Exactly.
I agree.
He won't, with three other teams.
We blew a 10-point lead, and part of the reason was having a 45-year-old guy out there. Instead, he's like, no, I trust that guy to get it done next time. Well, that's the problem with Tibbs.
Let's keep it going here. Giannis returns to Milwaukee's team. Bucks roll to the 126-98 victory over the Bulls. Giannis owns the Chicago Bulls.
This one was actually pretty close for half of the first quarter. 8 minutes in, it was 20-20. Big Vucci, 3 of 3 from three, 11 points. I'm thinking, we got all sales a competitive loss here. And then the reserves checked in. The next thing you know, huge Bucks run, 23-4 in about 8 minutes of game time, which is really the game was over at that point. The Bulls somehow got within 10 points in the third quarter and still lost by 28. Milwaukee has now won 15 of the last 16 over Chicago, and the one win the Bulls had was when the Bucks shut everybody down because they were already locked in to their playoff seed. I was not surprised to see the Bulls take an L last night. That's why you gotta beat the Raptors, and that's why the Kings loss is so stupid. But this is still interesting because, like you said, Skeets, Giannis was back after missing a game over the weekend, and Brooke Lopez got his second start since returning, so this is the first time they've had both of their bigs in the starting lineup since the first game of the season, and instantly the Bucks look like the Bucks again. They just look humongous out there compared to the Bulls. 58 points in the paint for Milwaukee. They dominated the glass, won 53-33, and the defense was just stifling. Like, Drew Holiday did a great job out on the perimeter, and then the back line is just so big for the Bucks. The Bulls made three shots at the rim in the first half, didn't take their first free throw until 35 seconds left in the first half, and DeMar DeRozan took zero free throw attempts for the first time all season.
Wow.
This is like the championship defense that we've seen from the Bucks, the reason they've been an elite team over the past four seasons, basically. So if you're the Bucks, even though it was a Bulls team that they've been dominating for 4 years, you got to feel encouraged because that looked like the Bucks that we're used to.
Yeah, Vucci is an undersized big, whereas Brook Lopez is an oversized big. And Giannis is just gigantic as well. And it looked like it was just bully ball. I mean, they just had no one physically even close to be able to stop those two guys. So, hey, look, Giannis had 9 turnovers, if that's anything.
Yep.
25, 17, 5, and then
got
9
the way.
Turnovers. And Tassie's guy, Wesley Matthews, man. 11 points, 4 of 8 shooting, a couple threes in there. He's still got it defensively, I think, too, like as a perimeter defender. Fights around picks and stuff like that. So
it's great for him if he comes back and is able to get to an NBA Finals with this team, because he was there pre-championship, missed the championship, had to go join the Lakers for a little run there, and now he's back. And that would be phenomenal for him. He subbed in for Chris Middleton, who was out of this game, so they missed that, obviously. But I think the Bucks have to be congratulated with how they handled the Brook Lopez situation. They waited and waited and waited, and look how spry he looks. I mean, he, on the perimeter, even when he gets the ball, he's doing some little spinsy-winsies. This is a 7-foot monster. He looks great. So they've quietly gone about their season. They have not, you know, tried to win every single game and tried to go be a 60-win team. They're kind of under the radar. They're going to win between 50 and 55 games, and they're the clear favorite because they've got their team back and healthy and ready to go. They are the favorite, no matter where they finish, if it's 1, 2, or 3 in the Eastern Conference standings.
And this game in Milwaukee, though, it was a little weird. There was a lot of Bulls fans in attendance, obviously being pretty close, and they were booing Grayson Allen because of what had happened with these two teams. It's just funny to see a guy in his own building there get booed.
Yeah, I mean, I assume Bucks fans were also booing him. But I can't confirm that. He did go 0-for-0 from three-point land, so that's probably why they were on him. But, yeah, you know, when your highlight is booing an opponent, you're probably mathematically eliminated from winning that game, I would have to say. So, you know, kudos to the Bucks. They took it to the Bulls. But, you know, those first eight minutes I'll never forget.
Yeah.
And, JD, if you have it there, throw up the playoff picture, because Tass was saying, like, no matter where Milwaukee finishes here in the East, they could be looked at still as the favorites to come out of there. Well, right now, as of this morning, They are second when we lose that lower third there. So there they are. They'll be waiting right now if they stay in the number two spot for the winner, probably of the Raptors Nets. That would be their matchup. So not great, I guess, what I'm getting at. We could get Bucks Nets. Run it back in the first round. It's in play. And Philly, yeah, dropping to third here. But it is very congested.
Yeah, and the Bulls' stat of not being able to beat the best teams from each conference gets worse and worse after every loss to the Bucks. They're 0-16 against the top three in each conference. Jeez. They haven't beat Miami, Milwaukee, or Philly, obviously. Yikes.
I'm really rooting for the Celtics right now. Yeah. To get into the top three, because the Bulls beat them once this season. So at least we'll see a one in the W column there.
Yeah, good point. All right, let's keep it going. To the West here, we had Jokic and the Nuggets bouncing back with the 127-115 victory over the LA Clippers. What do you got, Lee?
Bounce back game, must win game. We've got to have this one. That's really what it was. All the cliches for the Nuggets, because they got pounded at home by the Celtics over the weekend. They needed a good win, and they got it. It got a little bit dicey there in the fourth quarter, but the Nuggets pulled it out. And you know, I was looking at the stats this morning, and remember the game against Philadelphia last week? It was all the bench. They came out and really contributed. Well, the plus-minus isn't all that great, but I think if you look at just the contributions the Nuggets got from the bench there, Bones had another big game coming off with 16 points, and Austin Rivers played well. I think Boogie Cousins was okay in the short time that he had out there, but this is the thing for Michael Malone is you obviously don't have Murray. You obviously still don't have Porter. He needs to get consistent production out of that second unit, and I think that's what really sort of kept them going last night here. Jokic was very, very good. 30 points with his 14 rebounds. He sort of shook it off after what the Celtics did to him.
Yeah.
But at game, this kind of got close, and the Clippers had a chance late, but then Aaron Gordon hit a three, and the Nuggets pull away, and they get a comfortable victory. And again, this is just huge for them in the standings, because they cannot afford to sort of drop games right now. They're basically in a battle there with the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's a one-game lead the Nuggets have, so every single one is a must-win. You know, back to the cliches here, because Minnesota's playing so well right now, and it's going to be one of those two teams. They're a game and a half back of the Mavericks. They could still get them, but it just feels like the Nuggets more likely going to drop down than rise up, just based on the way they've been playing. But Minnesota does have that super tough schedule. So for the Clippers, they're basically locked in the eighth place right now, it's 5.5 games back of the Wolves right now, and then four up on the Lakers. So
they've been stuck in the eighth spot, and they're not moving for weeks now.
Yeah, and like I think Ty Lue's done a pretty good job considering this season.
Yeah. You
know, no Kawhi, obviously. Paul George has missed most of it. They're basically a 500 team. They're two games below right now. He's a good playoff coach. So the Clippers just have to get there, and maybe they can get out of the play-in tournament. But overall, I think Ty Lue, just keeping them in there, has done a very good job this season.
Yeah, I went through the Joker's like game log this morning, because I was trying to think of like a time this season where he has had a stretch of like two or three bad games in a row. I couldn't find it.
Yeah,
I mean, he really has, like, if you look at it, like four bad games all season. Bad games for him, you know, being the MVP of the league and possibly winning it back-to-back. But December 1st, he had a loss against the Magic. I was usually looking for like a bad game and a loss, of course. He had 18 points. He missed all five of his threes, and he had five turnovers. He followed that up with 32-11, shooting 14-19 in a huge win against the Knicks. Okay. Then he had, this is probably his worst stretch. Late December. He's got the holidays on his mind. You know, he's worried about what gifts he's going to be buying, what's he going to be doing for New Year's. So December 22nd, they lost to OKC. He only had 13-7-3 in 25 minutes. Yeah.
Wow. Someone must have been missing.
He followed that one up with two big beef games over the holidays, if Trey maybe remembers. Now, he didn't shoot well in either of those games, so this is probably like his worst stretch, but he had 29-21-5 versus the Hornets, and then followed that up with 26-22-8 versus the Clippers. And then the only other one, you brought it up, Lee, Sunday against the Celtics. Great defense. He only had 23 points on 23 shots. He only had 8 boards last night. 30-14-6, 2 steals, 3 blocks.
Yeah.
It is pretty incredible. I mean, this is the MVP type of level where it's like you have a bad game every once in a blue moon and you don't string together two or three of them. You come back with 30s and 15s and generally in wins, too. It's amazing.
I guess the Jokic brothers are hard to shop for. He must have been straining over that. What did he get his brothers for Christmas? That's the question.
Brass knuckles.
Yeah.
Something like that. So,
tattoos on the Nucks.
Do you guys have anything, Trey, to add here or task to the Nuggets' victory there over the Clips last night?
Cool stuff from Bones Highland.
Bones.
I would say 4 threes, and they all came at like important times. You know, the Clippers would be going on a little run, and Bones would knock down a three to kind of settle things down for the Nuggets, because they needed a win here coming in, having lost four of six, with the Timberwolves playing pretty well. So, I don't know. He gives them a little bit of what Tyrese Maxey gives the 76ers, I think. Just a little pop, a little extra juice, and a little confidence from a younger player. When he's hitting his threes, he's really, really tough to guard, because then he gets some driving lanes inside as well. The Nuggets will take basically anything from the perimeter with all of the injuries they've dealt with this season. So to see him kind of seize the opportunity has been nice.
Yeah, and he'll be playing in the playoffs, and I suppose he'll be playing fourth quarter minutes, because it doesn't seem like he fades from the spotlight. But I don't know if you go crazy with him and put him in the starting lineup.
We could get a big Bones playoff moment or game, though, right? Bones. You could see that.
Yeah, and I think the Clippers are got to be super happy just from their side where they are. You do see the Paul George highlights of him in practice. Is he coming back? Who the heck knows? But for them to be fighting and to be around 500 without their two best players, essentially, for a lot of the season, Ty Lue is a master when it comes to the playoffs. So, yeah, looking forward. But he likes to get down in series. You can't get down in play-in tournaments. You just can't. Or else,
well, within the game,
over,
I guess you can.
I guess.
All right, let's get down 20 at halftime, and then we'll come back. Yeah, I mean, do you like the Clippers' chances to still even get into the playoffs? Like, they're probably going to lose the 7-8. Well, who knows? They're going to lose the 7-8 matchup, be it against the Nuggets, be it against the Wolves, whatever. So then they got one more chance at home to beat, the Lakers in their own barn, or the 10-seeded Pelicans.
I think they've got a good record against the Lakers this season, I believe. Minnesota should be able to beat this team. Let's assume it is Minnesota. And then they should be able to take down the Lakers. I mean, they should be able to, but what a disaster
it
would be.
I wouldn't bet on that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's a disaster, like we said, missing like two of their best guys for a good majority of the season.
I think Paul George will be back.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. Final game last night. Warriors fall to the Magic, 94-90. And by doing so, the Suns clinched the first seed in the Pacific. So there you go.
Got to hang that banner.
Yeah. I mean, it's important when you're playing Pirtle, remember. You got to know your divisions. We'll get to that later. Mm. But Franz Wagner made three clutch free throws, Lee, with about 12 seconds to go. And then he dunked it on a nice inbounds play. It was still a four-point game, and scored the final points there. He finished with 18 points on 6-9 shooting. And Wendell Carter Jr. is on a tear. I know no one cares because it's the Magic and none of these games matter for them. He's averaging 20-12-3 since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
And really good numbers like on the season. I think it's like 15-10 or something like that, 16-10. His usage percentage has gone up after the All-Star break. His true shooting percentage has gone up. He looks cool as hell in those glasses, specs.
Yeah.
And he's putting up numbers. And, you know, this is a great win for Orlando here as they jockey there on Tankathon for who's going to have the best chances when it gets to the lottery. But a bad one for the Warriors. And Draymond Green after the game said, "I think we're playing soft. I think we're playing stupid. We're just not playing good basketball. We're getting punked. And we're losing a lot of fourth quarters. No disrespect to the Orlando Magic, but they're one of the worst teams in the league."
Facts.
Yeah.
That's sorry actually, to your grandma, but I'm built different.
That's actually a reasonable no disrespect, because they are. They haven't been one of the better teams. But they did close this game really well. I thought you mentioned the free throws. And then that inbound to seal it was incredible.
Yeah.
Really well played. I don't know if that was how it was drawn up, but he got an open dunk to finish it off.
Yeah, Clay got schooled on that.
Yeah, he did. And the Warriors' offense in that fourth quarter, I mean, 16 points alone. Like, have they got
seven turnovers in the final
exactly. Brand? Wiggins hit 1-3, but I mean, Wiggins 5-for-19 from the field. Again,
I wanted to ask this. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I can't remember who was doing it here. Any shame in having gone to bat for Andrew Wiggins' all-star starting spot?
Oh, I don't think I did.
Because people were championing that here on this podcast. I mean, he's been brutal.
Well, you're asking me.
I guess you were.
You're not asking anybody
else. I thought it was you.
I got
and
no
else.
Shame, baby. No shame.
You should, because that's
why?
A bad looking pick now. It was bad at the time.
He was an all-star at the time.
Yeah.
His teammates made
him an all-star.
Yes, his teammates made him an all-star. He was great when Curry was playing and Draymond was healthy, and he is worse than he was in Minnesota.
He is so bad right now.
It's bad. And honestly, the Magic, I think, have a better record than the Warriors since January 1st.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Wendell Carter Jr. Put him in the All-Star game.
They've only won 20 games. Wow.
So,
maybe since February. Maybe I'm reading this wrong. Okay.
Are you going to look back on Andrew Wiggins' lone All-Star appearance in his career?
You're calling
for
it
sure. Well, unless the Warriors are what the Warriors are next year, he could make it back. But Clay, it was a special situation because Clay hadn't been there all year. So that was a drastic problem. Clay would be the third All-Star. So he would not make it if Clay was healthy. Which one will you look more poorly upon? Mo Williams All-Star appearance? Remember Mo Williams All-Star appearance? Or Andrew Wiggins? Because it's the same scenario. LeBron got him an All-Star, got Mo Williams an All-Star appearance.
But he didn't
Wiggins.
Start is the other part. I mean, I know that the fan vote comes into play there.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm fine with... He stinks right now.
He is averaging 14 points per game post-All-Star break, shooting 38 from the floor, 30 from deep, and 45 from the line.
Yeah.
And he's
he went up from the line.
He went 50% last
night.
Hit a
couple.
So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And as like, you know, the all-star on this team, like you wouldn't know it at all because he's been brutal.
He's been brutal, but I mean, I think that's kind of he's been brutal. There's no way around it. He needs Steph and Draymond to be playing perfectly, and he needs to be the fourth guy to succeed here, and he needs to not be scared to shoot free throws, which is a huge problem for the Warriors, and part of the reason that their offenses look so bad. It's like Kuminga is the only guy right now who can get to the rim and score, and the guy's 19 years old, so that's a huge problem. Maybe a bigger problem, though, Klay Thompson is really, really struggling right now. He had that great 38-point game against the Bucks. Since then, he's 37.5% from the field, taking 20 shots a game. He's really trying to find his rhythm out there. He missed basically, you know, 2.5 seasons of basketball, so it feels like he's trying to get 2.5 seasons worth of shots back. And the Warriors are going to roll with Klay, but they're going to have to be a little concerned with his role. Like, they need him to be their third best player. Mm. They need him to be able to contribute defensively and to be a secondary scorer and a little bit of a playmaker come playoff time if they're going to make any sort of noise, because this Klay Thompson is not good enough for the Warriors to compete.
Yeah, I think just because of the Steph being out and Draymond being out, he hasn't yet had that full experience of being able to be with those three guys, and he's forcing it a little bit, I think, because he just wants to get into that rhythm. He wants to have one of those Klay games where he hits, you know, 8 or 9 threes and just catches a ball and lets it fly, but he doesn't quite have that ability right now. You know, he sort of, the defense is there and he can't really shake them off to get those shots that he likes. So, you know, but that's to be expected as well when you do miss that much time. I think it just takes some time and they need to run back. And Draymond also said, you know, they need some physicality, but Steph doesn't do that. That's not his job. Mm-hmm. So they do.
And I mean, honestly, you could make a case that Draymond has lost the last two games for the Warriors here. He got kicked out against the Spurs, which they ended up losing on that one. And then he's the guy who helped off Mo Bamba, gave him a wide open corner three to lose the game here.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I was not going to bring it up. I thought I'll lay off Draymond.
He said it himself. He said, even I made a dumb play. Helping off the corner shooter, that was dumb.
Yeah.
And it was.
As Bamba splashed it. So, yes, Magic get the win there, and the Warriors continue to lose games here as they looking more and more likely you're getting your wish of the Grizzlies having the number 2 seed.
Yeah.
That's for damn sure.
And the Warriors should have the 3 seed, luckily for them.
Yeah.
But they're a flow team. That's the bad part. They just need to be playing with each other. When will it happen? So that's the unfortunate part. How many games are they going to get together? Because they really haven't played a lot together. So, you know, I want a full-strength Warriors just so we can have a few good series. I don't want injuries. Don't want injuries going to the Western Conference playoffs.
All right, let's take our first break. When we come back, some news from Shams at The Athletic that the Blazers want to make a serious run at Jeremy Grant, so we can get into that, and we'll hit the beach to answer a few of your questions. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/nodunks.
All right. Welcome back to No Dunks.
Steak Lee, could you pass me that coffee when it's
done? JD's coffee, making a cranking coffee as it rattles away here as we come back for a break. According to Shams at The Athletic, guys, the Blazers are expected to make a serious run at Jeremy Grant this offseason with a package highlighted by the Pelicans lottery pick acquired in the CJ McCollum trade last month. The pick is expected.
Oh my God.
Are you
thing
fucking okay?
No.
He needs his coffee, man.
Well, pass it to him.
It is done now.
The pick.
One coffee coming right up.
There we go.
Here we go.
Good thing I wore my coffee shop shirt today.
Thanks, Trey. What a day.
I swear when the weather's dark like this and it's rainy, it's like, yeah, it really throws everybody.
Full moon,
a
maybe
loop
too, right now.
Oh, I don't know. The pick, if anybody's still listening, is expected to fall in the 5 to 14 range, which would allow the pick to be conveyed to the Blazers. However, if the Pels make the playoffs or find a way to sneak into the top four of the lottery, that pick loses significant value because then becomes the Bucks' top four protected pick in 2025. So a little weird here. So anyway, what do you think?
You want a coffee?
I had one, actually.
I'd like one, maybe.
Yeah, I get some. I get seasonal. You know what I mean?
You like, you order the seasonal blend?
No, well, I do order the seasonal blend, but also when it's rainy out, I get a little groggy.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, my mood goes with the seasons.
It's so dark in here because it's so dark outside.
I did make a coffee pre-show. Hasn't helped. Anyway, should they trade for Jeremy Grant? Absolutely. This was the idea when they went into the trade deadline. They wanted to build around Damian Lillard, and they retooled to be able to go after free agents. Did they get better at the trade deadline? No, they got worse. They went from a starting lineup of Lillard, McCollum, Powell, Covington, and Nurkic to Lillard, maybe Anthony Simons if he starts next season, Josh Hart, Justice Winslow, and Nurkic if he comes back. Then they traded Nikhil Alexander-Walker, the best guy that they got in a trade package, for an old Joe Ingles, an injured Joe Ingles, and Elijah Hughes, who doesn't play a lot. So their idea is, we want to build around Damian Lillard. If we're going to impress Damian Lillard, that ain't it. That lineup I just gave you is not it. Free agency is not going to help them, really. They don't have a lot of options in free agency because they're just not a lot of great players. So they have to trade for Jeremy Grant. And this is really, I think, the best way of keeping Damian Lillard happy. I don't know of anybody else on the board that's going to keep Damian Lillard happy in terms of free agency. So I think they have to do it via a trade. Again, Lillard's going to become 32. I don't know how that lineup there is going to work. Will Lillard and Simons even work together? So I think there are a lot of question marks, and I think Jeremy Grant definitely helps make Damian Lillard think that they've got a shot. But first, they got to make this trade. This report's interesting because this isn't a proposed trade quite yet. I mean, they can't trade right now, so it's not like they have Jeremy Grant in their grasps at this point.
No, and especially because we don't even know where that Pelicans pick will land, and if it will, you know, where it even is. So
it's got to be more, though. If you're Lillard, you're not pinning your hopes on Jeremy Grant coming to save the team. Yeah. I mean, Jeremy Grant's a good player, but I think he's kind of become one of those ones who's like sort of overhyped because he's an okay shooter, okay scorer, okay defender, doesn't really rebound, doesn't really create all that much. I mean, he's a good player, but if you're Damian Lillard and you're not going, right, finally we've got the Jeremy Grant deal, you need something way more impactful if he believes the Blazers are going to take that next step. But as an extra little complimentary piece, if you can get Jeremy Grant, I like it. He's a veteran. He's 28. He's still young enough. But that, if I'm Dame Lillard, I'm not like, okay, finally, we're going to be competing.
Grant has 1 year remaining on his deal, though the Blazers could offer him a four-year, $112 million contract extension this offseason if he were to find his way there in a trade for this sort of Pelicans pick. What do you think about this? You like the Blazers making this sort of move, if it is just the Pelicans pick and whatever else pieces you need to make it happen?
Pretty funny to trade the Pelicans pick back to him, I think. That'd be awesome. But I like I like it. I think this is a good spot for the Blazers because they're also going to keep their own pick, probably a top five. I think they got the seventh best odds right now. Who knows what happens on lottery day? So they'll get a young guy who, you know, much like the Warriors, the question will be, should they trade that pick as well for something down the line? Or even during the summer for a veteran to help Lillard, but they could do it getting a veteran in Jeremy Grant and then also getting a young piece for the future. They've needed a guy like Jeremy Grant for years at this point, so I think the Blazers did a solid job to kind of recover from a team that seemed like it was going nowhere to at least a little bit of a change here. They'll have a decision to make with regards of what to do with Nurkic, but there's a little bit of relationship between Lillard and Jeremy Grant, I guess. They both played on Team USA over the summer. Jeremy Grant born in Portland. His dad played for Portland. I assume they would give him number 44 like Harvey Grant. And you got a nice set of two-way wings then with him and Josh Hart. Like, that's a decent start to, they're looking better, I think, going into next season if they have Jeremy Grant than they did going into this season. Very stagnant coming into 21-22, at least a little forward momentum. And if you've got Lillard there, if you've got a Grant who has some respect around the league, maybe somebody else is like, okay, I could be the fourth starter there. I could be the fifth starter there and help out.
Yeah, I think in principle, if you're keeping Lillard, because, and that's a debate to be had too, right? I mean, are we, like, if you're going to have these draft picks and you're just going to go with these young guys, then I don't really see what the point of keeping Lillard would be at that point, because it's not like these rookies are going to likely come in and suddenly take the Blazers to a Western Conference Finals or something like that.
Almost, okay. It could be, if it's a great player, like Trey said, like they could be, you know, top four. If it's a great complementary player to help.
Sure. But I do get the idea, like, again, if you're keeping Lillard, he is a smaller, dynamic guard. So surround him with a bunch of switchy, versatile, 3-and-D-like guys. Try that approach. And, you know, that is sort of a Grant. That's, you know, somewhat of a Hart. I mean, he's a little undersized for that, but he plays hard and he can obviously rebound. And so I get the, like, could they get Turner as their center and move off of, like, Nurkic that way? It makes sense in theory, but, you know, is this enough even for the, like, the Pistons? Like the Pistons could also be like, no, we're going to want a little bit more than that. I'm not sure you're going to get a ton more.
Yeah, Grant. if it's a number five pick, I think if you're the Pistons, you'd do it.
Sure. Top 10 pick, yeah, they're maybe very happy because they're just thinking, oh, another bite of the apple to pair with Cade and our young guys and stuff like that. But, yeah, we'll see.
It's a few working parts. Like you said, the pick, their own pick has to be good.
Yeah.
And they have to get Jeremy Grant to make Damian Lillard happy and maybe something else. But what do you go – like, we talked about Lillard and McCollum. Is that a good backcourt defensively? For the past few years, obviously that hasn't worked out. Who's going to start alongside Damian Lillard in the backcourt after Anthony Simons had this incredible run? Is he going to come off the bench again? Is he going to play beside Lillard? So then if you start Lillard and Simons, Hart and Grant make sense beside those two, but I don't know. I don't know how good it's going to be defensively in the end and the center spot. So it's a big question going into the offseason. If you're gonna build a good team, there's a lot of working parts still.
Speaking of questions, let's hit the beach. Yeah, a little beach stepping. Keep sending your questions in. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Tweet them in @NoDunksInc. Leave them in the YouTube comments below. Is the stream team working now?
Apparently, yeah.
Good.
They're beefing with each other, so yeah. Okay. Yeah, seems like we're back.
Okay, awesome. First one. Hi, No Dunkles. Are you playing Wordle? And more importantly, are you playing Purtle, the daily NBA guessing game? If so, can you please lay some ground rules? Obviously, this will depend on your level of NBA fandom, but let's set some rules for fans who follow the league daily. Can you look at the silhouette? Can you use the app to check divisions? Can you use the app to check numbers, rosters, or positions? Cheers. It's from Ryan in Perth. Yes, Purtle. We've talked about it before. We were tweeting at it right when it came into existence there, fresh on the heels of the Wordle popularity. Are you still playing Wordle, by the way?
No.
Were you ever playing Wordle?
The only word I've ever muted from my Twitter timeline is Wordle. Yeah.
You just didn't like seeing boxes.
No, because at the start it was like someone tweeted and then someone else. And I was like, what is that? And then I'm like, okay, get out of here. I don't want to see this. There's some people who sneak it in though still. They don't put the Wordle in their tweet. So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we're talking Purtle, Ryan. And yeah, let's lay some ground rules. I mean, I said this basically the first or second day, or at least I tweeted it. Yeah, no silhouette. Get out of here. Like that's for someone... I mean, the whole point is you're trying to use your NBA knowledge.
See, I didn't know that. I thought that was it.
I think it was confusing to people when they first started playing.
I thought it was like, here's the silhouette, because the silhouette doesn't automatically
not all the time.
Give it away.
No. Wait till you see today, so you'll get it right away.
Is it you?
Basically. Yeah, no, you can't use the silhouette. Now, right?
What do you mean, basically, it's you?
Well, you'll see.
It's Poku, huh? Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't done it yet. But, I mean, it's got to be Poku.
That skinny head would give it away,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. It's either Poku or Beaker.
or me. So, silhouette, though, you're against.
Yeah, if you want to proclaim you're a hardcore, no chance, no way you can do it. I don't know if you're a casual. Fine.
Sure. Okay. What about checking, though? Like, especially, divisions? Divisions is a good one. Like, you're like, oh, okay, you know.
Just divisions. No checking anything else.
Can't check anything else.
Can't check heights. No.
I'm with you. Divisions only, because divisions are hard to remember.
Why division? I love it.
Divisions are hard to remember. They don't come up that often. Like, you see, you know, for whatever reason, if I play Wordle, or if I play Purtle, if I play Wordle, I'm guessing Beans first. If I play Purtle, I'm guessing Kuzma first.
Okay.
I don't know why. He just seems like a very... mid
average
player to me.
Yeah,
like
sure.
Height wise, number wise. But like if you see Kuzma running around out there, you see his jersey number, you can tell basically how tall he is, kind of how old he is based on the swag, but you don't know what division
he
is.
I see. I think you guys, especially being like NBA sickos, you probably know NBA divisions way more than you think you do.
Course.
There might be two or three teams where you're like, but I bet you like nail 28 out of the 30. Like, no problem. Like, who's in the Southeast?
Come Atlanta.
On, yeah.
Miami.
Yeah.
Orlando. Charlotte.
Yeah, Orlando, Charlotte. One more.
Washington.
There you go. Yeah. Boom. Look at you. You know, Southeast.
Because I don't check anything. Because my first pick every morning is Fred VanVleet. I don't know why. I just go with that.
That's good.
Cool.
Then you get
that's
the conference. Good. You know, then you sort of can
of course.
Nail in the division the next one. So that's just where I start every day. One day, it's going to be Fred VanVleet. Yeah. I'm going to get it right. But so after I realize that you're not supposed to check the silhouette, I'm like, all right, well, I'm not checking anything. And sometimes that does blow up in your face a bit because you're like, God, who's a big for the Orlando Magic who's over 28, but he's under 6'11"? You know, you're just like,
very, very
no idea.
Sometimes we will all simultaneously on our computers be playing Purtle. And like, there's a lot of like, ooh, oh, okay, yeah. And you got very upset the other day because you didn't get it, I remember.
Yeah, I can't remember.
You came up short.
Shake Milton, maybe?
Yeah, that's right. It was. I had Furkan. I had Paul Reed or someone like that. Because
see,
like,
that's hard.
Yeah, but that's like, you're like, then you're just like, how did I forget Shake Milton? Anyway, that's the joy of Purtle.
There you go. Keep playing Purtle.
I don't know. I'm looking at the silhouette right now. I don't think I would have got it right away.
No?
That's a good point. That's a pretty standard silhouette.
It's a very dark silhouette. It's pitch black. I don't know his earlobes. I mean, that's the only thing.
Sizable
that's
lobes, though.
Yeah, pretty big.
Yeah. Really
if you,
stick it out.
It's funny. For some reason, I know that photo, of course, because they're using like the
headshot
that they take like in preseason. And he's got like, there's quite the neck on him there. He's got sort of his head up a little bit. I can picture the actual photo perfectly. Maybe it's just because people send it to me all the time.
I only know the Eastern Conference division. I know everyone in the Eastern Conference, 1 through 15. I know them all.
Okay.
It's like American League and National League baseball. I only know half. I don't really know the National League.
Again, I think you're wrong. Task,
no,
give me the Northwest.
Divisions.
Give me the Northwest.
I can't do that.
Come on, do it. Here we go.
I mean, the Nuggets.
Yeah.
Jazz.
Yeah.
Got shoved in there. And then
the classic Northwest
Blazers.
Team from the middle of the country.
Oh, yeah, the Blazers, sure.
Blazers,
two
more.
The Wolves.
Yeah,
one
more.
There's another one, though, from the middle of
the middle.
They used to be more Northwestern, actually.
They used to
be
more.
Yeah, back when they played in Seattle.
Oh, Oklahoma City.
That's a tough one.
I don't think of them as Northwest. Bam, I don't think of the five. I do an elimination thing, even in the Eastern Conference. I know my Atlantics. You know, my couple New York teams. It's easy. Then I do the Central, Milwaukee, and all the bad teams, historically bad teams. And then you know,
whatever's left goes.
Yeah, exactly.
Left
exactly. Yeah. That's what I do. So, yeah.
All right, Ryan. So no silhouettes. You're allowed to check divisions, even though I bet you know them better than you think you do. And you can't use it for numbers, rosters, positions, because then it's sort of pointless.
Oh, there's no point. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. That was fun.
Yeah, that was great.
What's up, sickos? I was watching the Nets play last week and couldn't help notice that Andre Drummond is a big ass man. After some quick research, so this is my all NBA big booty team.
Oh, big ass man.
Yeah.
As in just, he's got a big ass.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's also got a big ass.
I guess the proper grammar should have been big assed man, as in he has a big ass. Anyway, I narrowed it down to Chris Paul, Kyle Lowry in the backcourt, Eric Gordon as a guard slash forward, as he writes, Zion Williamson and Andre Drummond. Who would you select for the All-NBA Big Butts team? Love the show and listen daily. Thank you. That's from Pistol Pete. As he signs off Pistol Pete. Trey, who do you got for your Big Butts team?
Well, thanks, Pistol Pete. I like big butts, and I cannot lie. Honestly, his first team is really, really solid.
It's
here. Chris Paul, Kyle Lowry, they're going into the Butts Hall of Fame for sure. I'll say Kyle Lowry has surpassed Chris Paul for...
buttage.
Yeah, boost of the league, if you will. Eric Gordon, I don't know, whatever. Zion Williamson, yeah, he's got some trunk, and as does Andre Drummond. So here's a second team for you. Some serious dumpers here. Jaren Jackson Jr., I think, is very bottom heavy. You don't think of it since he's more of a stretch big, but he really shows it when he's down in the post. Patrick Williams just returned for the Bulls. He's got a bit of a Kevin Duckworth build. Narrow shoulders, big hips. Same as me, Patrick. But yeah, he's got a dumper as well. George Niang, they call him the minivan. That guy looks like he's been sitting in a captain's chair for quite some time. I'm glad you mentioned Elijah Hughes for some reason, because I was actually thinking Trent Forrest was the big booty backup guard from the Utah Jazz, but it's actually Elijah Hughes. And then my favorite addition to this has got to be Grant Williams.
Mm. Yeah.
A.K.A. Buttman.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Buttman.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy's got... He got a big ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything to add?
Grant Williams is my one pick there because he's got a nice beef. I guess Brad Wanamaker's got some beef there. And Derek Fisher's got to be coaching this team. He had a high big butt.
Yeah.
You know?
Cakes. So,
yeah.
You said Patrick Williams... wide hips. Is that who Gabrielle Union called or said had childbearing hips last night? She said somebody. I'm sure it wasn't Patrick Williams. It was somewhere on the TNT broadcast. She said someone had childbearing hips. But yes, Eric Gordon, I mean, all good picks. I think he should be kicked off for Grant Williams. Grant Williams got a start on this team.
Yeah,
he's
got
to be a starter. Yeah, the greatest rump of all time, greatest Raptor of all time, Kyle Lowry, seems to be the poster boy. Hey, you said Patrick Williams. I thought Tristan Thompson would be the bull.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
Yep.
That's a really good one.
Best starting or best big man.
He's got a big boost, for sure. Was it Bobby Portis? He could be on this list as well, and he would have at least been on the TNT game.
That's a good call. That's a good call.
Speaking of Zion... JD, I think you have the clip. Lee, love to get your take on him throwing down a sick dunk here as he rehabs his foot. Going between the legs off the glass.
I mean,
it's looking
holy
good.
Shit. Like, you know, honestly, like he's been out the entire season and he's had foot injuries.
Yeah.
He looks like he's recovered, you know. I mean.
I thought you were saying, holy shit, look at the ass on that.
Well, he's a big rump fella, but I mean, the athleticism for him to be able to have that spring, because honestly, I was more concerned that he wouldn't have that same sort of explosiveness, but to be able to throw that up there, catch it under the legs and dunk it clean like that. I mean, if you're a Pelicans fan, okay, he's done for this season, but man, if he's ready to go next season, he should be worth the wait, because wait as in WAIT. But good on him. Looking great out there.
Okay.
I mean, it's been a disastrous season for the Pelicans, but some light at the end of the tunnel there.
Anything to add to that clip going around? And it's apparently new, too. It's I guess he's...
Sure.
By way of the shoes he's wearing in it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm trusting deep. People on the internet.
They would never fake that kind of thing.
Yeah, and he did just post it, yeah.
Yeah, that was his post.
He can still dunk, which is good. But, I mean, we need to see him play like 75 games in a season. But at least it's encouraging that Zion is in a gym and jumping.
Yeah.
And also the Pelicans gym. Right? Like, it was actually the Pelicans gym. He's not just rehabbing on his own, so that's cool. He's also, you know, bold enough to do a dunk clip with his shirt off. What was that thing they had around him? Just like a telemetry sort of device around his chest or something like that? Nice.
Oh, speaking of dunks, you see what John Morant said?
Yes.
They get 1 billion likes on that one post. He'll go in the dunk contest. 1 billion!
Should be able to get it. I mean, how many? Well, maybe not. Yeah. But come on, Ja. I do.
What's
like
the most liked thing ever on Twitter? Not nowhere close to it.
Doubt it's 1 billion. Yeah,
it's at like 134,000 now. So
I think it's one of the. I think it's one of the Wordles somebody shared. Got it like in their second guess. Got a lot of. Lee didn't like it. Didn't see it.
No, but, I didn't see it. I wouldn't have seen it.
What about Ellen? Is it Ellen?
She used to, but that was like so long ago now. Chadwick Boseman's passing is so far, yeah.
Wow, that's the most?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, we need 1 billion likes to get John Morant in the dunk contest. Everybody get to work. Final one here. Hi, gang. Today I found out that Russell Westbrook's three-point shooting percentage since the All-Star break was 9%. Now, this was prior to the Wolves game. I'm sure it's changed since then.
It has. It's up to 25%.
Oh, okay. Well, it was 9%. That is worse than one might have guessed it was. What are some other instances in your life where you expected something to be bad, but the reality is worse than you even imagined? Thanks for all the classics. Cheers. That's from Kaushik.
Nice.
Melbourne.
Yeah.
Nice. You know him.
I do. Yeah, I've met him.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
you did meet him.
Yes.
How do you say Melbourne again?
Melbourne.
Yeah, you don't...
You don't put the R in there.
Yeah, that's right. It's Melbourne. Right. I just heard it on another podcast the other day. And they were saying it even crazier. But I think they were also leaning into a joke, so... Cool story. Okay. This would be a great show. The question. There was a question there. To you.
Something worse than I imagined.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, I watched No Breaks like a day late because I joined a baseball fantasy league. And then I heard Trey on No Breaks talking about regretting that he joined an F1 fantasy league. Yep. He said he got talked into it. It was a perfect moment. You're watching qualifying right before the first race. Yeah. Everybody's
buzz.
Pumped.
Yeah.
Let's do this. It's easy. You can do it on your phone. All right.
Yeah.
I'm in. I'll forget about it by next week, but I'm in right now.
Yeah, same thing for me. Baseball buzz. The buzz was back. I joined a keeper league. The draft was just before the Trey's No Breaks, the day before, and I regret it. 100%. I regret it. It's worse than I imagined because I knew I didn't know baseball going in. Mm-hmm. And I started to imagine myself drafting a 10th, 11th, 12th guy with no knowledge about the league. Yeah. I mean, that drafting the 3rd, 4th, 5th guy was hard. So I regret it. I want to renounce my...
he wants out of the league.
I want
to buy my team off it.
Yeah, it's keeper league, so it's serious, too. I'm out. I really want somebody to take my team.
Oh, yeah, you're going to have to sell your team if it's a keeper league. Yeah.
Take it. I'll give you anything.
You pay somebody to take the team.
Wow. Yes. Oh, that's
smart. Is this for money, a league for money? Like,
yeah.
A little bit?
Yeah.
Wow. Who you got?
Yeah.
Who's on the squad?
I don't even know these guys. A story... There's Trevor Story.
I just moved, didn't he? He's on the Red Sox.
Here we go.
Yeah, Trevor Story.
Yankees thought they were getting him.
I got a story. You got a story.
I got Justin Morneau, Yvonne Rodriguez.
Justin Morneau. Wow.
Canadian, right?
Yeah. Minnesota.
Ryan Sandberg.
He's still in Minnesota.
No. I'm just naming old guys.
Ross Rayburn.
Ricky Ray.
Oil Can Boy.
Oh, it's Robbie Ray. Damn it.
Oh. All right. So you're not feeling good.
I'm out.
But you'll probably win, won't you? Because
maybe,
it'll be like you just
maybe.
Randomly picked half your team.
Alejandro Kirk.
Oh, cool.
He's good.
He's swinging a hot bat in preseason, isn't he?
Is that spring training? Spring training,
yeah.
When's this start? For real?
April 5th. I don't know.
When we start?
I don't know. I'm out.
No, you're not out. We're starting no bunts.
Get Ryan Sessions on for that one.
There you go. All right. Great questions. Anyone else have an answer to that?
Yeah, I saw today that Sean Marion was trending on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Former NBA player Sean Marion joined a space to debate which player would have been the greatest of all time if they had more help. I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be a ridiculous discussion. I got suckered into an MJ versus LeBron discussion in a group chat yesterday. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, this is going to be... Sean Marion defending LeBron, being like, LeBron is the greatest player of all time, and part of his argument is going to be, I shut down LeBron, is kind of what I thought it was going to be. Like, this guy is the greatest because I had to guard him, is what I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
But what it turned out to be is Sean Marion basically just yelling at random people on Twitter for not respecting Sean Marion's jump shot because he averaged 20 and 10 when he was playing. And also, sick my duck is what he was just screaming. He was just raging, man. This is so worth finding this clip. Sean Marion with an open mic.
Oh, yeah.
He goes in.
Oh, yeah.
He goes in.
We had the honor of talking to the Matrix on a Top Shot Hot Boy stream.
Oh, really?
And, yeah.
Uncensored.
He's blue.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. And this clip is amazing.
I've heard the clip, yeah.
It's incredible.
To me, I think he's more offended because people have said it's always been an ugly shot. But he was an efficient shooter.
Yeah.
It wasn't the fact that they didn't go in. It was just like,
but he's saying everybody just gets hung up on my
shot.
My look of my shot.
Yeah, yeah.
But look at what else I did. Yeah. And I was on winning team. He like at one point says, I have one of the greatest winning percentages of all time.
Yeah, yeah. Top five in Phoenix Suns history. Yeah.
The truth is he's spitting a ton of facts. He's an incredible player. Probably didn't get the love he deserved at the time and maybe since. And he's letting the people know. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've debated before. Like, is he going to make
a lot
the Hall
of
Fame?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sick my duck, he'll be saying at the Hall of Fame. Yeah,
every team he went to, he tried to fit in and make them better. And
yeah, that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
I love that he's blue and that he's also an ambassador for the league. He's always one of the faces of, you know, he's there. Just get him on a Twitter space, let him roll.
It's a rip shot.
Seek out that clip. It's a good 2 minutes, basically, I don't know, a minute and a half, 2 minutes of the Matrix.
It just stops dead, too, and he's still going. So.
Oh, yeah.
But I love, you can see, because it's a Twitter spaces, people dropping like the clapping emoji, laughing emoji. Yeah, so good. All right, keep your questions coming, guys. Do you have an answer for that one, Lili?
Well, I do. You know, Guy Ritchie's first two movies were bangers, Lock, Stock, and Snatch. His third one was swept away with Madonna. Oh, my God. That is bad. And before I had seen it, I remember people saying, no, it's bad. It got panned by the critics. But I'm like, Guy Ritchie's batting 1,000 right now. It can't be that bad.
Right.
It cannot be that. Madonna as well.
You are not wrong, man.
That's a good answer.
Madonna is not a brilliant actress, but she's, you know, she's a big name. She has
presence.
Acted. Yeah, Guy Ritchie's just like everything he touches turns to gold. Oh, God, it was awful. One of the worst movies I have ever seen.
Okay, hold on.
It is.
Can you give me the synopsis of it?
It's like a shipwreck, right? And she's like this high roller, and then she gets shipwrecked with this, like, he's like a worker on the ship. But he's like, well, there's no, you know, your power and your money can't, they're on the island together, can't really do anything now. You have to be my slave. So it's sort of a reversal of fortunes, and it's just... Yeah, it's just her acting is terrible in it. The story is stupid. And Guy Ritchie directed it.
It's the things you do for love, man.
Yeah.
Oh, they were together, yeah.
Yeah, they were. I don't know if they were married or not then, but they were certainly together.
Yeah, they were together.
But anyway, yeah, it was so bad. Don't watch it.
You saw it in theaters or did you rent it?
I don't remember where I saw it, actually. I probably saw it in a theater, I suppose.
Wow.
Yeah.
5% currently on Rotten Tomatoes.
Holy crap, this might be the worst movie of all time.
Critics' consensus, muddled and lacking the political context of the original, Swept Away offers further proof that Madonna can't act.
Oh, wow.
It's a remake?
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Film session. Yeah. Oh, that'd be a fun one.
Yeah.
My answer for this was media related as well. Winning Time? Ugh. Awful.
You're out.
I'm out. Well, I'm in because Jackson wants to watch it, and he's like, you want to watch Winning Time? I'm like, okay. But it's so bad, man.
It hasn't
gotten
better.
It's actually bad, and I can't understand what people love about it. The mixing of the medias, like the fucking different, the crappy video that they cut to, it's completely unnecessary. And it just makes it bad. It's distracting and it's boring. It's a boring show about one of the most exciting times in basketball. I can't stress how much I hate it. And I was not, I was expecting to be disappointed after seeing Don't Look Up. I mean, you know, anyways, whatever.
I wish I could disagree with you, JD, but I haven't even sucked out episode three yet at this point. It's it definitely fell behind Gilded Age on the list of things to watch. It's I'm not in a hurry. Maybe I'll dip in at the end of the season.
I think that's what I'm going to do too. Exciting. I haven't watched it since the first episode. Which
I watched
sort of
two, but three, I was like, well, I guess I missed Winning Time. I said to Laura, I was like, oh, I also want to watch Winning Time. She's like, what? no idea. Even though we had watched the two previous episodes. Not leaving an impression, except for everybody is very mad that this isn't 100% historically accurate.
That part's weird.
Yeah, they're like, come on, man, you're doing Jerry West wrong. Mm-hmm. You think Jerry West cares?
I think so.
So he's upset about it? I hope not, because they say he's never mad. He's not that mad.
Don't make him that mad.
And Pat Riley came in, and that's the most interested I am. That's the most interesting character to me.
Yeah.
But it's just like, especially when you know what's going to happen, right? Like you, it's just so tedious to watch it just plod along. And it's like, can we get to some basketball? This is me talking.
Wow.
Can we like see some basketball and talk about like how they're, anyways, whatever. It's the making of a dynasty, but oh my God. It's the most frustrating thing to watch on TV right now.
All right, well, let's hear if the stream team, everybody listening to the podcast later, agrees with JD. Are you watching Winning Time? Are you enjoying it? Or you agree that it's a bit of a slog to get through? Like, I'm surprised you're not watching it.
Yeah, so am I.
This is right in your wheelhouse.
Because I planned on watching it, but hearing the reviews, I'm like, uh-oh. I might not now because...
Could be a real swept away.
Yeah, ironically, the two is kind of linked, aren't they, you know? In that sense, you know, swept can be used in the Lakers and stuff like that. Hey, just quickly, by the way, the top 8 tweets of all time, most of them are sort of politically related. Yeah. Number 9 tweet of all time, most liked tweet, Macaulay Culkin from a couple of years ago. Hey, you guys want to feel old? I'm 40. You're welcome. Great tweet, Macaulay.
Is that tweet of the night?
Sure.
All right. No. JD, we gotta take a break.
That was a good Macaulay back right there.
Let's take our final break and then finally wrap up this shit show. Don't go anywhere.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
All right, back in the Classic Factory, let's get to a little tweet of the night.
Yep, here it comes.
Tweet of the night. Wow.
Twitter. Yes, tweet of the night. Let's get right to it. It's a great day. Well, maybe I should see myself. Hey guys. Great day. It's a great day when I wake up and it's a terrible day, but it is nice when I wake up and I have tweet of the night and Skeets has slid into my DMs and he just put it right in my lap. So here it is. It's really simple. It's from a guy named Corbin Smith, and it's a poll. Can Batman dunk? I mean, that's a great question.
It's a pretty fun debate in the comment section of the tweet.
Yeah. I mean, my instinct says no, because he can barely move. Like, he's got no range of motion.
Right.
And I'm just trying to remember if I've ever seen him jump.
You mean like not off a building? Yeah.
Without his what do you call that thing?
A bat hook?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So we're talking no gear.
Yeah.
Right? Just.
I mean, he's tall, they say. Batman's 6'2", right?
He's 6'2".
Not bad.
But if he's in his Batman stuff, like.
Heavy.
Can Bruce Wayne dunk? I guess that's a question, but could LeBron dunk if he was wearing the Batman costume? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
with the cape and everything?
The boots.
I mean, Dwight did it with a cape and...
please. That was the smallest
Victor
cape
Victor Oladipo, was it? Dunked in the Black Panther mask? Or maybe he missed that dunk. I don't remember. Was that
well, you make a good point. Cole Anthony. How tall is Cole Anthony? He's like 6'2", 6'3", right?
Yeah. He had the big boots on.
He just dunked in boots.
Yeah.
Batman wore Air Jordan 6s in the first Batman movie, so he's got an advantage there. But yeah, you know, I think one of the problems would be not being able to bend his neck, like to look up at the hoop would be a problem. Flexibility, certainly a concern. But I did vote yes for Batman can dunk on this pole.
Yeah, I'd be disappointed if he couldn't dunk, because I think that would sort of be like not that impressive. If he's like, he can beat the shit out of like 10 guys at once, but he can't just dunk it.
I put no, because I just don't think he plays basketball. I don't think he's got any touch. I think he's botching layups, so he's not even coming close to dunking, in my opinion.
That's a good, it's a good point, because I did Google Batman playing basketball, and there's lit. This picture that I put on the background, and there is one time in the comics where he attended a basketball game, the Gotham Knights. He went there on a date, cool. Who was very disappointed that he, with the seats, I think. She was disappointed with the seats. Like, there were nosebleeds, apparently. But,
what?
Yeah, I
Bruce
know.
Wayne's Bruce Wayne's a billionaire.
I know.
Was he? But he was Bruce Wayne at the game?
Well, Batman didn't take a woman on a date.
Okay, well, I don't know.
But so, yeah.
I don't think he can. Yeah.
I mean,
he's got no touch.
Can he jump? I don't think he needs touch. I think he's just got to be smart enough to be able to run and jump off one foot.
Yeah.
And that's it. He's not going to be one of those dummies during a break in an NBA game that dribble when they have to go laid up. Just hold the ball and then go laid up. Okay. Like, he's smart enough to run.
From a standing position, he can't dunk, but a couple good steps.
Well, can he jump? Can he jump? That's the question. Yeah. That's the only real question.
I mean, he should be able to.
Yeah. He's a trained ninja, isn't he? Like,
well, then he'll probably do a backflip dunk.
Exactly. He's got to be able to get up. I mean, it is 10 feet. And it's a full ball. He's got to get up to 10 and a half feet. Can he get that high?
It'd be hilarious if he turned up to an All-Star weekend. They said, look, Batman's going to dunk. And he went up and sort of Klay Thompson'd it. You know, like he sort of jammed it on the rim and fell on his back.
See, that's what I think. I think he can dunk a tennis ball.
Mm.
And I think he'd struggle with a ball.
I used to be able to dunk a tennis ball. So, you know, I guess I'm Batman.
I mean, Jason Concepcion chimed in.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, he is an authority on all of this stuff.
Yeah.
He said no, but as with fighting Superman, which he did and beat Superman, given enough time to plan, yes.
Okay, interesting. So if you just handed it to him, go dunk this, Batman, he's probably going to struggle, but Jason says, you give him time.
He's going to take it serious. So, he's going to be Trey Kirby training for the no-dunks or the starters dunk contest, you know, where you're practice and you figure it out. I think I'm a yes. I just pulled up. I never actually clicked the results of the poll.
I think it was yes, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's yes. It went yes by 64.2%. Mm. So I guess the people have spoken.
Yeah. Orban A. Smith, great tweet, just like their brother, really stirring the pot. Stephen A. Smith.
Mm.
I just like the now picture, like based off of Jason's tweet, Concepcion's tweet, like Batman in jump soles, like he's Kramer in Seinfeld, like just like really putting in work.
Yeah. But then people say, well, you can't use those, though. You've got to jump off your own shoes, normal shoes.
I don't think he's training in the jump soles. Right. Don't you remember the jump soles?
Yeah, I remember them.
Yeah, but you weren't dunking in those. That was just a picture.
I'm just saying if Batman goes out in those, he can't dunk in those.
No.
That'd be ridiculous.
Yeah.
But people would also say, take the cape off too. I think the cape's giving you some extra boost. You know,
if Jason thinks it's weighing him down.
It would definitely. But
isn't he supposed to be? He can glide, so maybe.
Yeah, but that's if he like jumps off a building and then it has time to inflate and then he basically falls. It's like a parachute. It's not.
Okay, so you were yes, JD, that Batman can dunk.
I'm with Jason Concepcion.
Okay,
given time, yes, I think he could figure it out. Yes.
Okay, Trey, you're.
I'm yes.
Okay, Lee.
Yes.
You are.
I'm a no, because if it was...
Know. All right.
He would train. He would train. Because if this was a scene in a comic or a movie, he would get hitched off the bat, and then he would train. and be able to dunk it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, you're writing the whole comic book right now.
I mean, this is the first scene. Kapow. This is the first scene. Yeah.
All right. Let's hear from everybody out there. Can Batman dunk? Great tweet there from Steven's brother. pick up results. Last night, Hawks, Knicks in MSG. Atlanta was only favored by 1.5. That line started moving after the Randall news. This brought to you by BetMGM, of course. We had three of us taking ATL, myself, Tass, and Trey. That's a big W for us as the Hawks swung that game in a hurry and covered quite easily. Lee took the Knicks. Must have been feeling good for about, I don't know, three quarters and change.
Not really ever, actually.
Oh, boy.
Not with a Knicks team, no.
No, okay. No. Well, yeah, you got the loss. You're three games back here.
I'm mathematically still in it.
You are. You are the Knicks. I mean, you are the Knicks. You're in it. Nice. You're in it. But tonight's game, I would say, is very important for you to gain a game on one, two, or three of us. So what's tonight's game we're picking from?
Well, the best team in the league against everyone's sweetheart team. I guess second sweetheart. It's the Phoenix Suns versus the Minnesota Timberwolves. The line, only a tiny 1.5, just like yesterday's line. The Timberwolves are at home, getting that tiny line. So Skeets is the only one that believes Minnesota will either lose by one or win this game outright, while Trey, Lee, and myself think the Suns got it. So this is a big game. This is a big one, because Lee can jump up and, you know, get a game on you, Skeets. Why do you think the Wolves are going to take care of business against the best team in the league?
I mean, I think what I start doing at this point of the season is, because of matchups, you're like, does this mean more to Team X than it means more to Team Y? It sure should mean more to Minnesota in Minnesota. I imagine that place is going to be going crazy with Phoenix coming in here. But the Suns, you know, they're just like, at this point, like, wrap yourself in bubble wrap and nobody get injured. Like, keep playing well and keep, you know, they're going to crack 60 wins here. But I just think the Wolves got a little more to play for. Mm-hmm. So maybe they'll get this victory tonight. But I was surprised I was the only one taking Minnesota. We'll see. I got that one point there sort of to play with. Maybe we get like a Booker game winner or something like that, and I still cover
it. Got the point.
You never know, Tess.
You never know.
You never know. All right, let's call it there, guys. Wow. What a show. Was it a classic? I don't know.
Unforgettable show.
Definitely.
People be talking about this show.
That's true. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Get yourself an athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. $1 a month. For up to 6 months for new subscribers. Take advantage of that. Get your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. We got a new t-shirt coming very, very soon that I think you guys are really going to enjoy. We've been sharing it on our social media channels, which you should follow. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, @NoDunksInc. Till tomorrow, we'll be back here in the Classic Factory at 10 a.m. Eastern to talk hoops. A lot of games on tonight, so we'll see you then. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, back to the Batman. Back to the Batman real quick. Mm-hmm. Amelia Earhart in the stream team writes, Desmond Bane can dunk.
Embrace the day, people.